Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. Did you know there are more prophecies about Messiah in the book of Isaiah than any other book in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. It is an exciting journey. We're glad you joined us today, and I want to welcome our team as well. Look at our team. It's just the Gideon's band, because we are still in restriction due to the health pandemic. But God is blessing in spite of the limitations. I'm also excited today because one of our team is going to be teaching today. Jason, we're glad you're going to be leading us in the Word of God. And the title is The Hard Way. Not that we want you to take the hard way. We'd actually like you to avoid the hard way and follow God's way. But we're glad you joined us for our study today. And we have a special gift in connection with this series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. It's a digital audiobook that we'd like to share with you entitled Radical Evidence. You know, Jesus gave a Bible study and he talked about the prophecies in Isaiah, but also all of the prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to him as Messiah. In this audiobook, you'll hear about all of those messianic prophecies and stories from today of lives that were changed as they realized that Jesus is the true Messiah. You can receive your copy by just writing to our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line, just put free offer, and we would be happy to send you a link so you can download this digital audiobook. I know you'll be blessed, and we're glad you're part of Hope Sabbath School. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members. Here's someone from Jamaica. Now, we have some team members from Jamaica, though not here today. But Catherine writes and says, my parents and I watch the lesson review every Friday evening when the connectivity is right. We look forward to sharing and singing the scripture songs with you. But notice this, I use the outline to assist me when I facilitate the lesson.
Yes.
So that's great. We're just glad God is raising up thousands of in-depth interactive Bible study leaders around the world because you're taking the outline and having a class. In recent times, I've been missing a few of your members. Well, guess what? They're here today because Catherine says she's missed Travis. Travis, give Catherine a wave. We're glad you're here. And she's missed Jason. Well, Jason's not only here, he's teaching today. Yes. Let's keep the faith so the entire Hope Sabbath School family we'll have a grand reunion in the earth made new. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for writing to us, Catherine from Jamaica. Here's a note from Jackson in Malawi. And we've heard from Malawi before, haven't we? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We must have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members there. He says, I really praise God for a wonderful time studying the Bible with your team. Amen. I'm always blessed with the studies. And now I'm getting used to the names of all the people on the team. Hoping to see you all in the New Jerusalem. Mm. Oh, brother, oh, sister, be faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jackson, for writing to us from Malawi. We're happy you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from a donor in, actually a donor couple in Oregon in the United States. And I just want to pause and thank all of you who support this ministry, who partner with us in a donor-supported ministry, because without your partnership, we wouldn't be impacting viewers in over 220 countries around the world. Praise God. Thank you for your ministry, helping the whole world understand the Word of God. Well, we're praying the whole world eventually, right? Because then Jesus is coming back. We watch Hope Sabbath School every week, and it's a blessing to us. It's obvious that you take a lot of time investing in the outlines and putting the program together. We study the Sabbath School lesson, but we get an in-depth understanding by joining your class on Friday evening. Amen?
Amen.
Enclosed is a gift to show our appreciation. God bless you all as you continue to serve Him, and a gift of $100 to help the Ministry of Hope Sabbath School. Amen. Thank you for your support, each one of you. I was excited by this email from Ikami. Ikami was born in the Congo, but is now living in Iowa, in the United States of America. And Ikami writes and says, I was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo and raised in a church called the Disciples of Christ, but I never heard anything about the Sabbath. Mm. When I moved to the United States, I continued to attend church, but then I met my husband, and I was surprised that he was going to church on Saturday. That was kind of strange to me at first, but I decided to visit. Mm-hmm. After a few visits, I met a beautiful couple, Andrew and Lori, and they started to come to my house for Bible studies. Mm-hmm. After several weeks of studying the Bible, I was convinced that Saturday is the Sabbath of the Lord, as stated in the Scriptures.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I became a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 2008, but after joining, I still didn't understand a lot about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Then I discovered Hope Sabbath School. That's why we do what we do, right?
Yes.
2015, 5 years ago, I was able to understand the Word of God on a different level. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll be where I am today in my faith without Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. I admire your knowledge and wisdom of the Word of God, Hope Sabbath School team. Mm-hmm. I admire your testimonies and the sacrifices you share. I thank God for all of you. May our Heavenly Father continue to guide you as you share His Word throughout the world. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You didn't know you were impacting Ikami's life, did you? Mm-hmm. But praise God for Hope Sabbath School members wherever you are around the world. Now, I have some good news for you. The last one's from Mozambique. But the good news is we're just launching a Hope Channel Mozambique. Mm. It's in Portuguese. That's the language of Mozambique. Mm-hmm. So it's called Novo Tempo Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And our Novo Tempo Brazil is helping to launch the affiliate in Mozambique. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That will be our 60th channel broadcasting in over 70 languages Amen. Around the world. But Esther speaks English too. And so she's watching our English Hope Sabbath School broadcast, mm-hmm. writing from Maputo in Mozambique. She says, I thank God for Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching it for many years on off and on, but these last 2 years, I've watched all of the studies, and I thank God for the ministry of spreading the Word of God through you. My daughter and I enjoy the scripture songs a lot. Be blessed. See you all one day in heaven.
Amen.
Esther, thanks for writing to us. And we actually need your help now to sing the song because we're not allowed to sing here in the studio right now because of the pandemic restrictions. But you can sing at home with your daughter. We want to invite you. Our theme song is Seek the Lord While He May Be Found. Call upon Him while He is near. Mm-hmm. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord.
What a powerful message. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Jason, lead us in our study. There is a hard way, but God wants us to follow his way. Mm-hmm. Let's study together today.
Amen. Please bow your heads as I pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, today as we open your word, even as we have to see the hard way, Lord, help us to see your love and your salvation, even in the midst of difficult times. Help us to take something from the stories of several thousand years ago and apply them to our lives today. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus, who we want us to guide the lesson. Amen.
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 So we're here talking about Isaiah, the gospel prophet. And as we've looked through this lesson study, we've seen the political situation as well as the religious situation at the time. And that's kind of where we get this title, The Hard Way. But I want to ask you, someone here on the team, when you hear the phrase, the hard way, that's a bit of a colloquial phrase in English. So what does that mean to you? What words come to mind? What feelings? What experiences? Samiso, I see you smiling. When you hear the hard way, what comes to mind for you?
I think what comes to mind is there must be an easier way.
I love that. There must be an easier way. All right, so you have the contrast right there. Jamie, Jean.
I think of struggle, pain, frustration, and just exhaustion.
Struggle, pain, frustration. Travis, you're smiling.
Well, I guess I grew up being a mason and a carpenter, so there was a hard way to do things and an easy way, so I'm all about the easy way.
Mm. All about the easy way. Okay. Yes. So we clearly have this idea of the hard way, struggle, frustration. As Samiso and Travis referenced, there is an easier way to do things. And yet, as we're going to see today, apparently some of the people of God had to do things the difficult way, the hard way. And so we begin our study in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 16. Jamie Jean, if you could read that for us, let's look at this verse and then let's try to see what is this verse saying. Because remember, Isaiah is the gospel prophet. There's a lot of hidden messages, if you will, multiple meanings that can apply not just for the historical context there, but also to us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the New American Standard Bible says, verse 16, for before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and to choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken.
Mm. All right, so someone else help me here on the team. We have the boy, we have land and kings. What is this talking about? Do we have some Bible scholars on the team here? Mm-hmm. Travis, I see you kind of smiling and chuckling. What's going on here? What is this boy, and how does this actually connect, say, even to Bible prophecy?
Well, I believe that Isaiah has brought his son, and he's in reference to his son. He's saying before, the explanation is about this boy, these things are going to happen before before he is old enough to choose what is right or wrong. That the child, what does it say, the child is that old, the two kings who will be both be deserted, right? The land will be deserted by the kings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Derek.
I've always thought it wasn't Isaiah's son, but actually speaking about Emmanuel, the child who
is Jesus?
Come.
Yes.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then he's saying before this prophecy will be fulfilled, these invincible enemies of yours that you're so scared of, that you're making false alliances with the Assyrians, they're going to be no more. Mm. But we'll probably get 1,000 emails to tell us whether that's it. But I think the child from verse 14 and on down is actually a reference to Emmanuel.
Yes, Emmanuel. We have this reference to the Messiah that is to come. Christian, you have some thoughts there?
No, I agree with Dr. Morris. I believe he's actually straight on. The reference to a child must be referring to Emmanuel, God with us, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And however, before Emmanuel comes, some things are going to happen in the political situation. Jamie Jean?
Well, I think what's interesting is it makes the point that before the Messiah is old enough to choose good or evil, meaning that God will break these two forces even before our Savior comes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
Yeah. Right.
So we just have to be patient. We have to wait because God is working out his plan. Mm-hmm.
And does this happen? Yes, it does. Lisa, I want you to take us to 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 29 and 30, because we don't want to just say this, you know, out of conjecture. We want to read it in the Word of God ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In the days of Pekah,
king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazar, Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. Then Hoshea, the son of Elah, led a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck and killed him. So he reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah.
Thank you, Lisa. Mm. And just to continue on in seeing this prophecy fulfilled, Christian, could you read for us in the next chapter, 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. Let's continue seeing how this is fulfilled.
Okay. I'm reading from the New King James Version, 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the land of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel who rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria heeded him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried its people captive to Kir and killed Rezin.
All right, so we have here the fulfillment of this prophecy. And I want to ask someone here on the team, as you see this prophecy and as you see it fulfilled here, what comes to your mind? Travis, you have a curious look on your face there. What are you thinking when you see this stuff going on?
Well, first of all, God knows the beginning from the end. It's obvious by the prophecy. But I'm still disturbed a little bit because there's people, you know that there's got to be godly people living in these places. Mm-hmm. And they're suffering because of somebody's choices. Mm-hmm.
They are suffering, yes. Jamie Jean, what thoughts come to mind when you see what's happening here? We've got conspiracy. We've even got an assassination mm-hmm. going on. What do you see here?
Well, I also think about, those people who are, you know, the children of God. I would say, you know, they could ask for protection. They could ask for refuge from the Lord because God is working out his plans. And so patience and to know that we shouldn't fear because God is always sovereign. God is always in control.
Now, one neat thing, though, about this is that God does prophesy this is going to happen there in Isaiah 7. So he did warn his people, and sometimes mm-hmm. that's kind of a lesson for us. We may have to go through difficult times. We may have our governments, we may have our countries, you know, go through, even be destroyed in this case. And yet God at least will tell us what is happening. He's still in control. Mm-hmm. He's still on the throne. And so I want us to ask, let's say that you are one of those faithful. We've talked about this idea of a remnant. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're one of those faithful living 700-something years before the time of Christ. You're in the northern kingdom of Israel. And you've got this prophecy. It's going to be destroyed. How would you react? Lisa, how would you react if you're living in the northern kingdom during this time?
It's definitely frightening to witness a destruction. I don't think there was any comfort there. But just knowing that God had warned and given his counsel beforehand reminds us to put our safety in him. Even when things seem to be going wrong, God is still aware of it. He's still in control above the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Derek.
Would it be possible that God could reveal to a godly woman or godly family, mm-hmm. godly man mm-hmm. living in the north, mm-hmm. that they should leave their land?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He mm-hmm. did that to Abraham, yeah. Abraham with Ur, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He dragged Lot and his family, mm-hmm. yeah. the angels dragged them out of Sodom. So I think we always have choices.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, my heart would be broken if my mm-hmm. land was being mm-hmm. Ravaged by enemies, but I think there may be times that God will say, it's time to move.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. Travis.
When Derek was speaking, I just thought of Rahab. The walls of Jericho are falling down, and mm-hmm. God is able to save in the midst of all this chaos
yes.
people
Powerful.
Who are willing to put their faith mm-hmm. in him.
Wow. Christian.
I would think, by God's grace, that, if I find myself to be a faithful servant, that there's going to be other faithful servants within, you know, within the land. And I would seek to find, you know, a community of faithful servants. You know, men and women that I could that I could, you know, just unite with and be able to find courage, you know, and strength, you know, in these difficult times.
Jamie Jean.
And I think this speaks to today, just tagging off of what he just said. When is the world not falling apart? This is a world of sin. It is always falling apart. Yes, it ebbs and it flows in our own personal lives, but we can take that advice. We can find other believers. We can listen to the promptings of God. If he tells us to go, then we go. If he tells us to stay, then we stay. But we seek him for refuge because the world is a place of sin and destruction and death. It is always falling apart. It's just sometimes it's more obvious.
I'm glad you bring that up because I want to ask us this question. We have leaders today, isn't it true to say, whether in political power or spiritual power, we don't have to give names or specifics, but whether they're presidents or prime ministers, we have people who we've seen that disregard the counsel of God. So I want to ask us, let's make this practical. This is not just 700 something BC. This is now today. How should we respond when we know there are leaders who have disregarded the counsel of God? How should we respond? Jamie Jean, you've got a thought on that.
Well, this can be hard, but we should pray for them.
Yes.
We should pray for our leaders in whatever capacity, and we should seek their good. And that can be hard to do, but that's absolutely what we should do, because and we should trust in God. So we should be a people of prayer.
Travis, you had a thought on that?
I did, because I remember in the Bible where it says it's better to obey God rather than man. There may come a time when we may have to make a choice. Where we may have leaders that are actually forcing us to make a choice. And at that time, it would be a hard choice, or would be an easy choice, to choose Jesus if we know who Jesus is.
Christian.
You know, I find the well-known principle in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I'm reading from the New King James. I'll share that with you. It says,
all right, so
to the law and to the testimony.
Give us a moment to find the text.
For all sure. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20.
And you said New King James Version?
And I have the New King James Version.
All right. Yes.
Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 tells us this, to the law and to the testimony. And, you know, and you were talking about 700 years later, 21st century. You know, I take that to mean the scriptures. You know, today, the word of God, okay? If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, and so I have to test, you know, what is taught or what is said with the word of God. And like Travis mentioned, you know, the New Testament motto, we ought to obey God, you know, rather than men.
Travis.
So this title, the title of today's lesson is The Hard Way. And I'm struggling with that a little bit, because I'm feeling like there's people out there thinking it's not always easy following Jesus either. And I think of Moses. When he said, the Bible says that he chose to suffer the afflictions with the children of Israel rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So it's maybe relative to the situation and how we look at this as we move forward in this lesson, because it can be hard.
Now, I do want to ask a question, because some people say, well, if the leaders aren't doing their job, we should step in and do it for them, you know. God has called us to lead, so we should step in to lead. What do you think of that? Jamie Jean, you're kind of smiling there. What are your thoughts on that? Should we take their place?
I mean, we do have these political processes where we can advocate for our policies, and we think we're very sophisticated with that, and God does call some people to lead. But I think back to Daniel 4. So that, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but so that the living may know that it is God who sets up kings and kingdoms. So we think we have a sophisticated process, but at the end of the day, our votes are, we should always be voting for Jesus or whatever it is that we're doing, because God is in control. He knows what he's doing. We might not always like the process. We might not always understand it. It might not always be easy, but we have to surrender to him.
Derek.
I want to affirm what Jamie Jean said earlier. As Christians today, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, we should pray for all who are in authority, that we may live lives of gentleness and dignity. So somehow, God calls us to be above all of the name calling and the lies and blaming and power plays.
Yes.
But we should pray for our leaders.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they, in a very real way, will determine the level of freedom we have to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have an overarching mission.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christian.
You know, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, there's a verse there written by Paul, and I believe that it has something, a principle there that speaks to us today. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Mm-hmm. But this is the fascinating point, okay? Yeah. When Paul penned these words, guess who was the emperor in Rome? Nero.
Nero
was the emperor in Rome, one who would eventually, you know, not only persecute Christians, but execute Paul himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's quite an incredible, you know, context, because it really gives weight to that principle.
Yes. Jamie Jean.
And it's painfully hard, but we have to follow Jesus' example. Jesus sought the well-being of others. He personally sought ways to improve the well-being of others. But what did he not do? He did not come to topple the rulers. He didn't come to set up his own on this earth government. He set up his heavenly government. And so again, we have to kind of follow his lead. Now, I do believe people are called into leadership and they're called to be change agents, but there's a balance there. And I'm not sure I have all the answers, but there's a balance.
Yes.
Where we submit to the government, but we seek the well-being of others.
Now, let's look at what was going on in that time. And I'd like to ask Travis if you could read for us 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. This is what is going on during the time of Isaiah, as he's the gospel prophet, and as the political situation is really problematic in the country, we're also going to see the religious situation isn't so good as well. So Travis, if you could read for us, let's see what is going on during that time that Isaiah is dealing with here.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. King Ahaz then went down to Damascus to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. While he was there, he took a special note of the altar. Then he sent a model of the altar to Uriah the priest, along with its design in full detail. Uriah followed the king's instruction and built an altar just like it, and it was ready before the king returned from Damascus. When the king returned, he inspected the altar and made offerings on it. He presented burnt offering and grain offering. He poured out a liquid offering, and he sprinkled the blood of peace offering on the altar. Then King Ahaz removed the old bronze altar from its place in front of the Lord's temple, between the entrance and the new altar, and placed it on the north side of the new altar. He told Uriah the priest, "Use the new altar for the morning sacrifice of burnt offering and for the evening grain offering." The king burnt offerings and grain offerings and the burnt offerings of all the people, as well as their grain offerings and liquid offerings. Sprinkle the blood from all the burnt offerings and sacrifices on the new altar. The bronze altar will be for my personal use only. Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz had commanded. Then the king removed the side panels and basins from the portable water carts. He also removed the great bronze basin called the sea from the backs of the bronze oxen and placed it on the stone pavement. In deference to the king of Assyria, he also removed the canopy that had they had constructed inside the palace for use on the Sabbath day, as well as the king's outer entrance to the temple of the Lord.
Wow, so there's a lot that happens in that passage of scripture. But before we go into all the actions, let's look at the players who are here. There are three specific names that are referenced. And so I want someone to tell me, who is the first person named in this passage of scripture? Samisa, who is the first name that we see here in 2 Kings 16? Who's the first person referenced?
So if we're talking about verse 10, it's Ahaz the king.
King Ahaz. All right. And does someone want to give me a little quick background, a 30-second or even 10-second summary? Who is Ahaz, and what do we know about this Ahaz, maybe from other places in Scripture? Lisa, what do we know about this Ahaz guy?
He was the king at Israel at the time, but the
Judah
yes. at the time. And then the Bible said that he hadn't followed God throughout his reign, so he already had compromising beliefs.
All right. So we have this compromised king. Mm-hmm. Who else do we have next? Jamie Jean?
Oh, we have Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria.
And who is this guy?
He is a pagan king who, instead of seeking the protection of God, King Ahaz sought protection from the king of Assyria against these other forces that were coming against his kingdom.
All right, so we've already got this questionable alliance. And then there's a third guy referenced. Travis, who else is involved in this story?
Uriah the priest.
The priest. And so what we should know about the priest, what we would think is that he would be, you know, the spiritual leader of the people. He should be following God. But what do we see going on here, Travis? What are some of the actions we see that are rather troubling, I'd say?
Well, we studied earlier in the lesson, I think, was it King Uzziah? King Uzziah that had, who got the prophecy or the
leprosy
yes. on his forehead. I saw, what was it, 81 priests or religious leaders come and try to drive him out of the temple, but now I see here that the king has actually persuaded the priest to go against the counsel of God.
One of the priests. Yes, Christian.
You know, and what I find ironic is that Uriah, the name Uriah, means the Lord is my light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, wow, you know, he's conducting himself in ways that depart from even the meaning of his name. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Derek.
So what I see here is in the mind of King Ahaz, it's more important what people think than what God thinks.
Mm. Mm.
And if this is the latest style of altar from Damascus, shocking, he'll move the altar of the Lord off to the side.
On account of the king of Assyria.
And he'll dismantle the laver, which was the place of cleansing, take it off of the backs of the oxen and lay it on the pavement. I mean, back to something we said earlier, it's shocking when you turn away from a complete surrender to God. It is shocking what you will do, even today.
It is shocking. Lisa, what are your thoughts when you see what's going on here?
Yeah, earlier we had talked about, you know, King Ahaz had gone to this king of Assyria saying, I'm your son, I'm your servant, like asking for this alliance almost. And it seemed to benefit him at the time. But we come down the road and we see how he's not only behaving this way, but he's leading people away from the path of God just by this relationship. And I think for us, is we have to be careful who we relate with as believers. We have to really ask ourselves, is this person influencing me in my relationship with God? Are they turning me away? And only the Holy Spirit can really reveal, you know, the substance of people's faith.
Samiso, you're nodding your head there?
Yeah, I'm not in agreement, and I'm just trying to put this all together with where we started off with the lesson to if we have leadership who are leading us astray, what action can we take? And I'm seeing that these guys are going to be taken into exile, and I'm still struggling. Do we just sit back and let the leadership, what is within our control, consistent with the Word of God, that we can do to lead everyone else?
So Christian, you had a thought here?
You know, and what's disheartening to me is that Ahaz's father, Jotham, was one who did right in the sight of the Lord. Okay? And I'm a father myself. You know, I have a 13-year-old son. He just turned 13, you know? And so this really strikes me because I've come to realize, and by the way, my father was a pastor. But I've come to realize that I, as a son, have to take ownership of my faith. You know, I can't just rely on the faith of my father. You know, because evidently Ahaz, he had to make his own choices. And like we all do.
That's true. Thinking of Samiso's question, we actually, in previous lesson, we saw what happened when Uzziah tried to burn incense. You had the leader of the priest and 80 priests that stood up. And so in this story, there was a priest who could have stood up, who could have said enough to the leader. And so I think that's kind of the answer, is God may actually have people in specific positions, like the religious leader of the nation, to tell the political leaders, no, you shouldn't do this. And maybe that's the question, is there should be religious leaders who can check the political leaders, whether we're talking about 2,700 years ago or whether we're talking about today. Samiso.
I'm not sure about religious leaders checking political leaders, because I fundamentally think that's where we should have the separation of church and state, right? We are talking about the context of a theocracy where really God is in charge. But we live in, most of us, in nations where we don't share the same beliefs. So I believe it becomes a religious liberty issue when we start to legislate our convictions, which could oppress someone else's definition of what's right.
So this is why it's helpful to have religious leaders who don't put their political preferences in, but rather they, as pastors, they minister to our political leaders. And they share. Yes, Derek.
I would rather have, like Hope Sabbath School, because we're a spiritual leader, help people to connect to God who tells them how they should act. You know, because I trust the Holy Spirit, actually, they may be much more direct with you than I should ever dare be. You know, he knows what's done in secret. But I think our role, and I think the role of Isaiah back then, was to connect them to God who could speak directly to them. And there were in Scripture people like Nathan the prophet who went to the king and said, you're the man. But he was led by God. So I think that's our responsibility.
Jamie Jean.
And, you know, many of us obviously work in very secular environments and stuff like that. And so while we don't want to impose our religious beliefs on others, we can lead by example and stand up for what's right. Because the leaders who are going in the wrong direction, they're going to take many people with them. Now, we might stand up, we might do the hard thing, and we might get punished for it. But our example will also lead others. And so that's what we can do.
Lisa?
Yeah, and I think ultimately, like, being here in Hope Channel, we are all leaders in one way or another, either in our churches or in our homes. Ultimately, we answer to God. And when that day comes where we have to stand before God, the question is, what did we do with the influence we had? What did we do with the information we had at the time? A lot of us are not acting out of what the truth that God has clearly presented to us. So I think the higher up you go in leadership, the more the responsibility is to act not based on our opinions or our convictions, but what does the Word of God say?
That is true. Now, also thinking about this, Ahaz, we're being pretty hard on him, and Urijah, but they aren't the only biblical characters that we've seen whose lives degenerated. So I just want to ask quickly here on the team, are there any other examples of people you've seen in Scripture who their lives degenerated when they despised the counsel of God, when they turned away from God? Lisa.
King Saul is the classic example.
The first king.
He was chosen by God. I mean, we always forget that. God did select him. But even in the choice that God had, he decided to go against the counsel of the prophet, go against godly wisdom. He was brought up in a believing home, against all these things. So it, again, it reminds us, like, we are all human beings. We can all fall short. We can all make mistakes. Let us not feel so confident in ourselves like King Saul did. He was way too in himself, and, you know, God just stripped the kingdom from him.
Amen. Samiso. Wow.
Judas.
Judas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think about John, when Jesus now addresses him, he says, whatever you want to do, do quickly, because he had already resigned and made up his mind on what he's going to do.
Yes, Travis.
Actually, if you read the Book of the Kings, almost everyone.
Yeah.
We could say King David, we could say King Solomon, and you could just go down the line, because King David, God's path for King David was a lot easier than the way he chose. And because of some choices he made, the way got hard. And the same was for Solomon. He decided he liked a lot of ladies, and things got bad for him, you know. So most of the kings, almost all of them, chose some paths where the way got harder than what God had wanted it to be for them. Mm-hmm.
Now, this sounds kind of depressing, and someone might come to you and say, oh my, you know, look at the path that these kings chose. Look at the path that Saul chose. And what if someone comes to you and says, Lisa or Travis, I've fallen so far away from God. I've done things I never thought I would do. Is there any hope for me, Lisa?
Of course. Look at Peter. Peter was one of the founding fathers of the Christian church. He denied Christ 3 times in public. I mean, it doesn't get worse than what he did. We forget that. But God still had a plan for him, and he still didn't discount him. So I just want to remind that person, when we look at the disciples, when we look at Paul and Peter and the rest, they were not perfect. They were not perfect. They had their mistakes, but God can still work in those lives for the glory of his name. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Jamie Jean.
I think a hopeful example is actually King David. This was a man after God's own heart. He fell. He committed adultery. He then murdered somebody. But he was open to the rebuke, and he was open to change. Right. And yes. So there you can see he still had to deal with the consequences of his decisions, but if you're open to God, God is still there willing to save you, to change you.
All right, Travis?
One of the most amazing stories for me in the Bible of God's grace was Samson. Mm-hmm. The things that kid did from from his childhood, from the time that, you know, his when he became a young man till he had his eyes gouged out, and then the book of Hebrews calls him a man of faith. It's like something happened there, and I thought, if that was my kid, I don't know what I would do. But God sees people for who they can become, and he saw something in Samson that was different. God, in all these kings and these people that have fallen, it wasn't like he just left them up to their decisions. Eventually, some of them did, but God tried to win them back.
Amen. Well, we've got to move on here, and we need to get back to the book of Isaiah. And so I'd like to ask Jamie Jean if you could read for us Isaiah chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. We have more prophecy here, and let's try to see what is God doing.
Okay, the NASB says, "So I approached the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said to me, name him Meir Shalah Hashbaz, for before the boy knows how to cry out, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria."
All right, so we have this name, Meher Shalal Hashbaz. What does this name mean? Does anyone have a note? Samiso, yes, what does this name mean? What's this saying here?
Quickly. Means it'll happen
quickly. All right, what's going to happen quickly? Mm-hmm. Jamie Jean?
My translation says, swift is the booty, speedy is the prey.
All right, so something is going to happen. There's going to be some kind of quickly to the spoils is another version. So what's going to happen here? It even says in verse 4, Travis, what's going on?
Damascus and Syria are going to be conquered. Mm-hmm.
Damascus and Syria are going to be conquered. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now, how does this connect to what's going on in the book of Isaiah here? Yes, Samiso.
It sounds like those are the adversaries, right? They form a coalition against them, and they're saying that kingdom of the north is going to be destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm. And yes.
So that's the breaking away of the kingdom of the north, which is prophesied.
And one thing that's clear here is we've got a lot of calamities going on. There's a lot of political instability, shall we say, as well as religious instability. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of problems going on. Yet even in the midst of this difficulty, there's some good news. And two key pieces I like to think of for good news are the name of Isaiah's first son, Sher-Jashub, as well as there's also a prophecy. Travis, if you could read that for us, and Isaiah 7:14. Let's read this, and then let's kind of talk about what are these two pieces of good news we have here.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us."
All right, so we have Sher-Jashub and we have Emmanuel. Does anyone know what the first son Sher Jashub's name means, Jamie Jean?
A remnant will return.
A remnant will return. Christian, what's this idea of a remnant, and how does this connect to this story here?
Well, it's interesting because it's kind of twofold. One is that there will be an exile happening. Okay, right. They are going to be taken.
Okay? All right.
But, and this reveals to me the character of God. You know, in the midst of this bad news, there is hope. There is that notion of a return, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a remnant. Those who remain, those who are faithful, they will return. So it ends on a very hopeful note.
Yes, a remnant will return. And then what else do we see here, Travis? Isaiah 7:14, what do we see in the verse that you read?
Oh, that the promise of the coming Messiah?
The Messiah. Isaiah is the gospel prophet, and it is right here, right in the midst of this chaos, of this difficult time, that we literally have the prophecy that the Messiah will come. Jamie Jean, what do you think of that?
I think that's a wonderful promise, and it's a reminder that this world is not our home, and what happens here is temporary, and it will pass away, but God's kingdom is eternal and forever.
Mm. Amen. Samiso.
I'd agree with Jamie Jens, because some things might not be a total win when you look at them in our life. Yeah, just like, okay, not exactly what I was hoping for, but there's a greater promise of eternity. So again, helping us not to attach permanence to temporary situations.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
And even with the name, in the midst of all this chaos and the things that are just falling apart, all of a sudden we have this prophecy from Isaiah. Emmanuel, his name, God with us. Mm-hmm. Here is God coming down to be with us in the middle of this.
Amen. Now we also, as we look at Isaiah, there's certain words that he uses that we could get some misunderstanding if we don't understand correctly. And so I'd like to ask Lisa if you could read for us Isaiah chapter 8 here, verses 11 through 13. Particularly, there's this word fear, and we want to kind of understand what is God saying here through his gospel prophet.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
Mm. All right, so the Lord shall be your fear? What is this saying, Jamie Jean?
The Lord shall be your fear. I think the way we understand that depends on our relationship with God, because fear can mean to fear, to be afraid. If you're not in a right relationship with God, but if you're in the right relationship with God, it means to revere, to honor. And so it all depends on our relationship with our Heavenly Father.
And so what's the difference? Does the difference have anything to do with God?
No, it's with us.
It's about us. It's how we respond to God. We can choose to be afraid, or we can respect, reverence, acknowledge Him. Christian, you had some thoughts there?
You know, Jamie Jean is very right in the sense that I also agree that it really comes down to knowing the true character of God. Because so often, two individuals, they look up to the same God, but their responses are so different. And it really comes down to their understanding of the character of this God, whether he's approachable or a God that they are afraid of, you know, and it really comes down to one's understanding, and that's why the scriptures must be understood, must be studied, because they do reveal that true character.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
We could even say there is no fear for those who fear the Lord. Really, because I'm thinking of the book of Revelation in chapter 14, where it says they have no rest day or night to worship the beast in his image. And so for those who have not aligned themselves with God, they have no rest, which means there's a anxiety or a fear inside of them, but that's not what God wants. He actually wants to take that fear away.
Lisa.
And there's another verse also, I think it's 1 John, that says perfect love drives out fear. So unless we've been perfected in the love of Christ, then there is no fear within us. But love and fear cannot coexist. Either we accept God's love and live without that fear, But if we're fearful, we haven't really experienced the love of God.
Mm. Amen. Now, I'd like to ask Jamie Jean if you could go to Isaiah 41:10, because we, mm-hmm. while we love talking about this, let's actually see what the Word of God says for itself. We want to know that we are people of the book of the Word of God.
Yes. The NASB says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Mm-hmm. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Mm-hmm. All right. So we see here God says, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Trust in me." Well, apparently some of the leaders weren't necessarily trusting in God, because there are some specific warnings that are given. And I'd like to ask Samiso if you could read for us Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. We have this situation with Ahaz. And what does God say to the prophet Isaiah here?
Isaiah 8, verse 19 from the New King James Version. It says, "And when they say to you, 'Sick those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter,' should not the people sick their God? Should they sick the dead on behalf of the living?"
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this is an interesting verse, Travis. Why is God telling Isaiah this? Why is this right here in this passage of Scripture?
Well, because there had to have been, I mean, what this is implying is that the people in that time are going to mediums and sorcerers for counsel. Mm-hmm. And we've even seen in the history of the kings prior to that, King Saul, that when they would disregard the counsel of God and actually pray and call to the dead for counsel. What, and if we've studied the Scripture, we know that the dead know nothing. So there's actually no counsel to be given.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Except mm-hmm. the lying counsel of demons.
Oh, right.
Yes.
True.
Which
yes.
is why the Scripture tells us to have mm-hmm. nothing to do with mm-hmm. witchcraft mm-hmm. and sorcery. Mm-hmm. And what's mm-hmm. tragic, even in our day, with mm-hmm. leaders in our day mm-hmm. who go to fortune tellers and, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, they are setting an example.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we're talking here about the circle of influence we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can either set an example for good mm-hmm. or an yes. example which will mm-hmm. which will hurt those around mm-hmm. us.
It will. Samiso.
Yeah, and also just connecting that with fear. Mm-hmm. Many people are driven to these things as a result of fear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now it's saying fear God, because even the king right here tend to the Assyrian army and so forth, because he was afraid of being attacked mm-hmm. by. But it's saying fear God. He can actually destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to save you. Mm-hmm. Anything that the Syrian army can do, that's not who to fear. Christ mm-hmm. is the one to.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jamie Jean.
And I think it's important to actually read the very next verse, because we want to put our trust in God. And the next verse, verse 20, says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn, they have no light, and mm-hmm. Jesus is the light." And so we cannot put our trust in mm-hmm. divination or these demons or mm-hmm. any kind of worldly practice. We must test it against the word of the Bible. Mm-hmm.
Christian? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there is a clear choice. On the one hand, I have the written, revealed will of God, mm-hmm. okay, the law and testimonies. Mm-hmm. On this side, I have these false, you know, pagan religions, mm-hmm. you know, communicating to the dead. Mm-hmm. So there's a very distinct, literally a black and white, you know, mm-hmm. difference between the two. A choice needs to be made. And the appeal is, you know, mm-hmm. follow the will of God as it's revealed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you had a thought on that?
Yeah, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, these people who do practice all these things, you know, when the rubber hits the road and you need God to save you and you wonder why that protection's not there, it's because you have been consulting mm-hmm. with these things, right? And mm-hmm. so I worry about people who are just sitting on the fence. They do a little bit of this, a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of mm. pagan things. That's not how it works. Either you trust in God and leave behind those things, because God's protection only works when you fully trust in him.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
I think of John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "This is the condemnation.
We can read it if
you want. Men love darkness rather than light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness rather than light." Mm-hmm. We were just talking about the scripture and that there's no light in somebody who doesn't speak according to the law or in the testimony. And the condemnation for anybody is that they would love darkness. They would love that rather than Jesus, who's actually pleading with us to not have to be afraid and to invite us into a relationship, a saving relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. You know, a century later, the Lord spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and it's one of my favorite promises in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Mm-hmm. He says, call to me. I'm quoting from the scripture song my wife wrote.
Yes.
Call to me, and I will answer you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to witches and demons. Mm-hmm. Call to me, the Lord says, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Mm. And the appeal to me in this word is don't go to the demons and the witches or even to pagan kings.
Yes.
But call to the Lord and he will show us the way to
Amen. Simiso.
I think I'd like to pick up on that same text, and I think there's some people who have maybe been involved in these mediums or demonic influences and so forth. Mm-hmm. That is also equally applicable. He's saying it's never too late to call to me, and Christ can.
Amen. Yes. And I would like to challenge you. Maybe perhaps you've done things the hard way. Maybe you've even, you know, spent some time in the occult or done some challenging, problematic things. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And as we saw in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, let him guide you back to the Word of God, and he can show you how you can walk in his way.
Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Well, that's an important topic. And I just want to thank you for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. And by the way, Jesus is the true Messiah. Mm. If you haven't written down the address, it's sshope@hopetv.org to get your free copy of the audiobook digital version, Radical Evidence. Not only can you be completely convinced that Jesus is Messiah, but you can be equipped to share that truth with others so they don't have to walk in darkness.
Yes.
They can have the light of the world in their lives. Mm-hmm. Let's pray that we can share that truth about Jesus with others. Father in heaven, we see darkness around us even today. It was happening back in that day, but it's happening today. How much we need the light of your word and the light of Jesus to shine into the darkness. I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to bring that light to others, that they too might find hope and salvation in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, maybe you've been challenged by the study today and you say, I need to run to Jesus. I need to run to the light. My friend, do it. Accept Jesus, the light of your world, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.